We just want the congregation to just let these words minister to you. And if you desire to just express yourself with the choir, please feel free, because I'm quite sure that all of us are grateful for what God has done for us.
Flowing from? So grateful. I think we want to do that one more time, y'all. I'm grateful.
I am grateful for the things that you have done.
I'm so grateful, Lord.
I am grateful for the victories we won.
I could go on. Ready, ready?
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I guess the question begs to be asked, are you grateful? Are you thankful? God is so good. Good when he's given. Good when he's taken. It's good God. The great missionary William Carey overseas working with savages and natives, and on his 70th birthday he wrote a letter. And in that letter he said that I'm a monument, a 70-year-old monument of God's grace and mercy and goodness. We ought to all think like William Carey, because God is good. If you're 10 years old in here, you ought to be a 10-year-old monument of God's goodness. If you're 20 years old, you ought to be a 20-year-old witness of God's goodness. If you're 90 years old, you ought to be a 90-year-old monument of God's goodness, a living testimony, because God is good. You didn't have to be here. Folks dropping kids off at children's services. Planned Parenthood is taking them right out of the mother's womb. And what right do we have to walk God's earth and complain about it's too hot or too cold? God is good. Amen. 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 Thank God for Joanne. Don't you run out of here, Joanne. Let everybody hug you before you leave. Joanne is relocating. God don't always answer our prayers. So we try to pray to stay and try to pray that nobody buy that house. But God. But God. Yes, sir. Amen. He's good. Yes, he has.
bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. It's only 11:05. I got it.
Amen.
All that we didn't talk about and sang, and it's still only 11 o'clock.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Jeremy. Deacon Nims. Not pulling that ladder out. Okay. We're going to continue. This is our ninth or tenth sermon out of the book of Luke. And it's been fascinating. And I've enjoyed the book of Luke, chapter 9. And we're rounding it off. I'm going to preach two more sermons out of Luke, and then we're going to head to the cross for the greatest time of the year. We're going to talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this week we're going to look at the destructive power of pride, and when just listening to Michael pray, and it's just good as a pastor when you're preparing a message and then someone just steps up and just preaches part of it.
All right.
Praise part of it. Yeah. Or mention some of it. Just to know the spirits are connecting in this place. And that's a good thing. Listening to the songs. Everything is just joining together to highlight some of what Jesus was talking about to these disciples in Luke chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 43. And we're going to read to 56. and we're going to start at 46. But just to bring everything in context, I want to go back to where we started last week, because it's just important that we understand the context of what Jesus was saying and when he was saying it and why he was saying it and how the disciples just didn't have a clue, like some of us. Luke 9:43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of man." But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receive me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great." And John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followed not with us." And Jesus said unto him, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven
and consume them, even as Elias did. But he turned and rebuked him and said, you know what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. Father, in the greatness of your name, we thank you this morning. We thank you for all the songs. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the tears. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Father God, we thank you for waking some lost soul up this morning to come to the house of God. Father God, we thank you for the relationships that have been formed in this church. We thank you for, Father God, the Holy Spirit glue that you use to keep us together. And Father God, we ask right now that you would just bless this church with a word from you. Not from man, but from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Last week we saw how the disciples struggled with all the attention that they were getting and receiving because of the miracles that accompanied Jesus Christ as he concluded his Galilean ministry. And as he was setting himself up to go into Jerusalem to be lifted up and to die for the sins of the world. But Jesus had reminded the disciples, let these things sink deep down into your ears, and they understood him not. Sometimes it's hard to understand when God is rebuking us, when God is making commands and demands on our lives. Sometimes it's just difficult to receive, especially if God is using a man to do it, or a woman to do it, or a mother to do it, or a grandmother to do it, or a grandfather. And the disciples struggled with it, and they really didn't want to hear it. They wanted the miracles and the healings to continue to go, to continue to come. And then they even got to verse number 46, and it says, there arose a reasoning among them. And that word reasoning means a dispute. It means an argument. They were going at war. And we know one thing. The soil that all confusion comes from is Satan. The Bible calls him the author of confusion. A songwriter called him a ball of confusion. And within that soil, and if there ever is an issue in this church, if there's ever a reason among any of us in here, if there's ever a confrontation, you can rest assured that the soil and the roots that's in that soil is pride. The destructive power of pride killed many churches, destroyed many families, destroyed many relationships. Pride caused angelic warfare, caused this Lucifer, God's number two man, to be cast out of heaven because of pride. It is one of the greatest sins known to man. And it's the most natural sin known to man. Matter of fact, Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 6 talks about pride. He named six sins that he hated. Six sins that he hated. Proverbs chapter 6, for those that are taking notes. He says, six things do the Lord hate. Six things. And I know some of y'all, we don't serve a God that hates anything. He's just a loving God. And he loves everything. Well, I beg to differ. And from this point on in your spiritual life, you can tell anybody to say God loves everything. You say, I know six things he don't like. I'm just going to give you the first three. A proud look. You know what a proud look is? This is a look that you just look down on folks. You think you got it all together and God is blessing you and nobody else. A proud look. He said, six things that I hate. Here's number one. A proud look. And you know what holds up that proud look? Excuse me. The second thing that he hates. A lying tongue. Proverbs 6:16. And the third thing, I'm just going to name the three. And hands that shed innocent blood. Now here's the 12 greatest men in the Bible. One of them was the devil. But here's the 12 greatest men in the Word of God. And guess what, folks? They're struggling with pride. They're struggling among themselves. They are arguing. They are disputing. They are ready to go to blows. Matthew 18 says that they came to Jesus with the question, whom of us going to be the greatest? And they were looking at a temporal thing. They weren't looking in the heavenly. They were looking for right now. They were thinking that Jesus came to overthrow Rome, and they were on their way to Jerusalem, and they had no clue. They did not want to hear that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die for our sins. They thought he was going to Jerusalem to overthrow Rome. In Matthew 20:20, I believe Mark 20:20 or Matthew 20:20, the mother of the wife of Zebedee brought herself to Jesus and said, when you get to the kingdom, I want my one son on the right hand and the other one on the left. That's how out of touch they were. That's how out of touch they were. And Jesus, verse 37 says, and Jesus, what? Perceiving the thought of their heart. Oh, how many of you know the heart is deceitfully wicked? Above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Listen, Mark 7:21 says, from within the heart. Let me turn there. I want to read this one to you because we have to understand that this heart of ours can conjure up some bad things. You know, this is why I love to see folks come to church. Not just so we can say, oh, we had a full house. Oh, we even had church today. No, because we need to be under the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. We need to get some understanding. Look at Mark 7:21. Talking about the heart. Jesus perceived that this was a heart issue with these disciples. They were struggling with this. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. Y'all thought y'all's grandmother and stuff just made that up. That boy got evil eye. Y'all heard that before. All this stuff come out of a bad heart. This is blasphemy. That's just denying the Word of God, period. I don't care what God thinks about my sin. That's blasphemy. Psalms 14:1 put it a different way. It said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't care what you think about what I do. I don't care about you and your Bible and your Jesus. Blasphemy. Look at the next one. Pride. And then the last one, foolishness. Blasphemy, pride, all leads to foolishness. And I know we got some folks in here, and we're worried about our young people. I know I do. I mean, Ray, how they go double for your trouble. Ray got a father that's a preacher and work at a prison. I'm on him all the time. And sometimes I have to catch myself. I say, boy, I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see you. I know Zaire catch it too. He catch it. Probably glad he got called away. That's dead. Checking on me. Because see, when you work at a prison, last thing you want to see is your son in that orange jumpsuit, shackles and handcuffs. And you know what causes it? Blasphemy. Not caring about the things of God. Pride. I know. I mean, sometimes I'll ask, you ever ask somebody something before? It's like Family Feud. Before you can get it out, they've already answered it. But they know everything at 12 and 13 and 14. Know everything. I know Debbie going through. I know Jayla catching it. I know she catching it. Who you talking to? Where you going? Who is that? All because we care. I get up here and think, oh, he's going to get God seen it in their hearts. He seen they had a heart problem. He said, you got a heart problem, people. He said, you got a heart problem. And again, the first point is we have to recognize when we are in the enemy's presence. We have to recognize that we are in the enemy's presence. Confusion is always a sign. Proud man has no covering from God. And that's a scary thing. Proud man has no covering. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. And you don't have to look at it. You just write it down. It says God resists the proud. How about that? God, knowing that if you're a proud person, if you're not humble, that God is against you. You need to get out of that situation as soon as possible. God is against you and giveth grace to the humble. God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. What are we going to do? Moving straight along. Look at verse 47 again. How did Jesus rebuke them? He perceived the thought of their heart. He took a little child. He took a little child and set him by him. He took a little child. Now, what's the point of this? He took a little child. What do children do? Children change their life. Matthew 18:3, the parallel passage of this same text says, he says to the disciples, unless you be converted and become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. A little child don't have the cares that we have. A little child don't know how much is in the buggy already. A little child don't care that gas prices is $3.79 a gallon. Now, I know that's the truth. A little child don't care if it's 3:00 in the morning. If they're hungry, they're hungry. It's like the sister took a little baby out of the hallway. A little child don't care if it's church. I'm hungry. Little child don't care if you've been up all afternoon working. I'm wet. Come change the diaper. Excuse me. That's a little child. A little child will change your life. When you young people, when you had children, or when a little child came on the scene, your life changed. You can do the things you used to do. Your friends called you. You're going to the movies. It's changed. And it's really a picture of our relationship with the Lord. When we come to the Lord, when Jesus said as a little child, we ought to take on a childlike faith. Okay? We ought not question everything God's doing in our lives. God's just doing it. But we like to question everything. Children don't, a little child don't question. Now, I'm not talking about 11 years old. I'm talking about 3-4 years old. All right. That's what he took. And a little 3 to 4 year old, they depend on you totally. They depend on you totally. And what he's saying here is that we have to depend on Jesus totally. And the disciples weren't ready to hear that. They weren't ready to hear that. And they was like, listen, we can do this stuff on our own. Why? Why do you say that, Pastor? Why do you say that? Because when it was all said and done, when you get to verse number 49, and you see John. You see John in verse 49. He didn't care what Jesus said. See, they were really out of God's will. I'm not saying they weren't Christians. I'm not saying they were backslidden. They had their own thought process, and they was thinking of one thing: where are we gonna be at the kingdom? And I want to be great. I want to be the greatest. See, all they didn't just make that up. And we live in that kind of world. We live in a kind of world where everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be great. And we see it in the sports world. I'm watching this stuff now with RG3 and Andrew Luck, and for the rest of their career, they're going to be judged on which one of them is the greatest. Okay? We see it. We have who's the greatest president, who's the greatest actor, who's the greatest this, and who's the greatest that. Now, with recent developments, we gonna find out who has the greatest funeral. How many celebrities came to your funeral? And did Al Sharpton come to your funeral? Did who? How many celebrities? And we just everything is up for discussion. Everything is okay. So. Disciples. He knows that he's going to use them, and they just have to go through. I think that's what Mike was saying when he was praying. We got to go through some stuff. We got to go through some stuff, folks. You just ain't going to be just instantly glorified. Sanctification is a process. Sanctification is a day-by-day change in you. It's not instantaneously that I've been changed, and I'm all together. No. You're going to have some. You're going to have some downfalls. You're going to have some days down. You're going to fall 7 times. That's what it's all about. Jesus knowing that, this is what he says in verse number 49. As John is just in his height of arrogance. And listen, John learned something now. John learned something. He says in verse 49, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. You know what he's really saying is, in verse number 38, that man came to us with his child, and we couldn't cast him out. Why is this guy casting him out? Watch this. And John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. That's the key. In thy name. See, when the disciples were trying to cast out that demon, they was trying to do it on their own. They weren't trying to do it in God's name. Okay? See, many of us trying to do things in our own name. Well, brother, you deserve a pat on the back. He should have mentioned you in church. That's what's bad when the pastor started mentioning folks. You get a whole lot of trouble because everybody want a pat on the back. Watch this lesson in Matthew 7. Familiar. Very familiar. See, you can say you're doing it in God's name, and you can fool everybody but God. You can fool everybody but God. Look at verse 21. He said, not everyone to say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of God, the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Okay? This is all red, so Jesus knows what he's talking about. And in thy name have cast out devils. And
thy name have done many wonderful things. And I will profess unto you, I never knew you. What's going on there? They were just saying the name. And that's probably why the disciples couldn't cast out this demon. Because they were just saying the name. They get a little arrogant. See, when God gives out them gifts, and you give somebody the gift of, the gift of healing, folks will take advantage of it. That's why you see these guys now. They, I watch them on TV. You know, fall down. Fall down. The whole crowd is falling over. Fall over. And just waving their hands and stuff. And people just falling over. That's just pride. If God had really given somebody the ability to do that, do you find that in the pages of the scripture? Fall down again. Reverend Dome just tumble off the. Just slapping people from way up here. That's just spiritual pride. We have to be careful with that. You're doing that on your own. Jesus recognized that. Look at verse 4. Where are we at? 49. Move us right down the chart. Watch this. What's John? I'm gonna come back to John. I'm gonna come back to John, and we're gonna see John change. John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him." Why? Why, John? Why did you forbid him? He was just doing what you was doing earlier. Why did you forbid him, John? He didn't dress like us. She didn't wear stockings. She didn't wear a hat. She didn't raise her hand up when she got up and left out of service. I mean, some of the stuff we do.
Yeah.
And you know, we all guilty of it. Okay? I mean, we all guilty of it. I like wearing robes and suits and I like it. But I have no right to condemn another pastor who don't. I love wearing robes. I wear one every Sunday. But I can't sit here and say, well, you know, because he don't wear a robe. Something wrong with him. And that brother can't say, because I wear a robe, something wrong with me. I look at the church, I look like all the men wear suits on this side. That's an observation. But I think the question begs to be asked. Listen, here's what Jesus said in verse 49. Listen, John is saying because they didn't follow us, they can't do nothing. We Baptists, we Pentecostal, or we Methodists, or we Lutherans, or we Apostolic. But isn't it? And what Jesus is saying, it ain't about all that. It's about one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul said. We ought to be able to listen to anybody preaching Christ and him crucified. Now somebody's saying, well, the Christ I preach didn't die on the cross. That's one thing. If somebody preaching the Christ that I preach wasn't born of a virgin, that's another thing. If somebody preaching the Christ I preach didn't die on the cross, now we got some serious theological issues. I can't listen to him. But if he preaching Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried, and rose on the third day, he preaching the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Take any one of them out, you got a problem. Okay? That's foundational. This, or you don't do that. You know, those are heaven and hell issues. Okay, I don't believe because you know we don't believe in women preachers that's a heaven and hell issue. I don't believe because the church they say okay we like women preachers. I don't believe that everybody going to hell in the church. Okay,
mandate that God says that he hasn't called women to preach. But at the same time, I don't think it's a judgmental thing. That like somebody, well, he don't tithe. Well, you know, they tithe and I have a hell issue. Well, if you don't tithe, you go to hell in a lot of churches. Okay? That's why your car broke down. Y'all heard that before. That's why your sink backed up. Should have gave that money to the church. When they had to call the plumber. See, stuff like that. We hear. It's laughable, but it's serious. But listen, look at verse 49 again. Because they didn't follow us. This was a man, probably him and his wife and children. Just say that's a man. Usually when they say just a man, he probably had a wife and his children. And they was doing ministry. One word about being mega. One word about being a big church. One word about being a certain denomination. We just want to do ministry. And that's all this brother was doing. And he was casting out devils. How? In the name of Jesus. And God said, no, we forbid them. Listen, and Jesus said unto him, verse 50, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. Amen. See, folks, there ain't no middle ground. Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom is forever divided. Okay? You can't be down the middle. There ain't no gray area. I say it all the time, and I know I get on some of y'all nerves, and I know I use sports analogies, but Jesus did and Paul did and all the rest of them. And I'm going to say this. You cannot be a Browns fan and cheer for the Steelers. Ever. And I believe it's vice versa. And that's just an illustration. And I know Joe Morris knows what I'm talking about. I thank God for Royce and God to send me a Browns fan. I was getting piled up in here. But seriously, you cannot play with this thing. You're on one side or the other. You can't be dibbling and dabbing. You know, dibbling and dabbing. In and out. How will you get caught at? Remember, the death is like a thief. It comes at night.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I always say it. We got to be careful how we die. Okay. Moving right on. Y'all get all that? First John 50. And Jesus said, forbid him not. For he that is not against us. A church that folks is being saved and folks is being delivered and folks is turning their life around, I wouldn't care what denomination they was. Life is changing, communities are being changed, schools are being changed, and children are being changed, and God is blessing them. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Care how they dress. They don't wear hats. They still didn't get it. These disciples is like us. They still didn't get it. This is why it's so repetitive. And keep on preaching because one day it's going to click.
Yeah.
One day it's going to click. And my job is just to keep on planting, keep on going to seed out. You know, dung it, turn it over. One day it's going to click. You know, God's time and our time. Some folks can say that 80 years old. Some folks can say that 90 years old. Jerusalem journey. Now he's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to the cross right now. And it came to pass. 51. when the time was come that he should be received up. It was time for Jesus to be taken into custody. Time for him to be received up. It was time to take that journey to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. And guess what? These disciples were still blind. So when you have your struggles, believe me, don't let no preacher sit here and say, once you come to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be all right. And you're not going to fall. You're not going to struggle. You're not going to sin no more. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
All right.
1 John 1:9 says, if we what? Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That would be taken out of the Bible. We don't sin no more as we can say. You're going to struggle in this flesh. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to struggle. As long as your eyes are in your head, you're going to struggle. It's a struggle. We talk about on Wednesday night, Paul struggled. Paul struggled at the height of his apostolic ministry in Romans 7. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this flesh? He struggled all the way in. You're going to struggle till God delivers you out of this flesh. That's why he says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to shed this stinky, filthy flesh. And we're going to step in that glory. We're going to be suited up with a new suit designed to endure the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. That's what he did. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was getting set up. He was putting on his geared up. He had his face was set and he was ready to go. Some versions say he was set. Nothing was going to stop him now. And he was set to go to Jerusalem. And this is what he did. He sent his disciples, verse 52, were his messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans. Jesus wanted to bless, even on his way to the cross, he wanted to bless these folks who got it wrong. He wanted to bless these folks who had the wrong Jesus. The Samaritans were idol worshippers, and they worshiped in the Mount Gerizim, and Jesus wanted to bless them with his presence. Oh, God wants to bless somebody here today with his presence. God wants us to come into somebody's life today, come into somebody's heart today and say, listen, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. He wants to come into somebody's life today and say, you need to change some things. You need to change who your God is. Drop the little G and put the capital G. And look what the Samaritan said. Verse 53. And they did not receive him. And that word receive me, they was when a ruler or a great teacher or a prophet would come into the town was expected to embrace him, to set the table for him, and to sit down and listen to what he said. And if they didn't receive him, they rejected him. They rejected him. Just like some of us. Just like I did. I can look around the room. Most of us didn't come to the Lord the first time we heard him. We rejected him. We were doing our thing. Came to Papa. I ain't got time for that yet. I'm doing my thing. You know? I got to hit a lick. I got too many things going on right now for Jesus. Here you're going to worship the little God. Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They said, we don't worship in Jerusalem. See, the Samaritan. hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. Here was a big clash going on right here. And Jesus was going plan on going through their city. And they said no. And the disciples, full of vinegar. Thought that one, Pee Wee? And the disciples, see, some preachers will say it, they don't care anymore. They say anything they want to say in the pulpit. You know, we got cussing preachers. Come to their mind. I mean, we all come out of the streets and we all come out of the world. We got some things in our mind, but when you stand behind this pulpit, God is in control. This is holy. Okay? I know there's some cussing preachers in this town. Ain't got a problem with it. Drop it on you. Well, we got, you know, that's how we got to reach the young people. You know, the young people cuss. So if you're going to minister to the young people, you got to cuss. Where they at? See, I need to see it in the pages. Chapter and verse. Here's how you reach the young people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. See, we want to spend all the time in youth ministry. Listen, they ain't coming. One way. And that's if Jesus Christ is lifted up. They ain't coming because we're going to start a volleyball league. Or a basketball league. Or whatever. They ain't coming. Or we're going to have an American Idol show on Friday night. That ain't what the Bible say. Well, you got to draw the people. Y'all know what I always say. You want to draw them. Told y'all this before, so hang in there. Get the Budweiser truck. Put it out in front. Take the sign down. Budweiser, after service, and dancing girls. And we'll have a full house. All these signs. I mean, they'd be stuck all in that grass. So trucks, they're party over on 2369. They having dancing girls. Now, we're going to minister to a bunch of drunks. You have a full house. See, if the goal was having a full house, then all stops. Pull all the stops. If that's your goal, to have a full house. I know. Listen. And they did not receive him. They did not want to hear from Jesus and because he was not worshiping their God. The ironic part about it, this is the same problem that John was just having with the man that was casting out demons.
All
right. Now look at his solution. Light him up. And when the disciples James and John, sons of thunder, saw this, they thought about the Mount of Transfiguration. I guess they figured Elijah just told them, listen, do what I did. Folks don't want to hear it, light them up. 2 Kings 1, verse 1 through 16, if you're looking for this scripture. It says, and when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? There's a whole lot going on there. See, you have to understand, Jesus is going to tell you, what spirit are you in?
All right.
Be careful what spirit you're in, because this ain't adding up. They want to kill these folks. This whole village. This is the same village that Jesus was going to revisit in John 5:4 and talk to the woman of Samaria. Okay? And he was going to tell her all her business. How you had five husbands and all this. You didn't go through the whole town. You didn't have all these husbands. And the one you got now ain't your husband. And then she changed the subject. Say, well, I perceive that you were a prophet.
All right.
Get off that subject real quick. And then she said, answer this question. Where should we worship? Our people say Mount Gerizim. Your people say Jerusalem. You know what Jesus said? It don't mean nothing where you worship. If you're not worshiping in the spirit of the truth, you can worship anywhere and be lost. But if you're going to worship, you must worship how? In spirit and in truth. So John and James are going to wipe out this whole village that end up being saved. So we have to be careful. We can wipe some folks out. This will cut you. This right here, too short, it'll cut you. A lot of folks been cut up in church. Diced up. Don't want to come to church no more. I'll never go to church again. Cut me up. That little help first aid kit we got in my office ain't gonna do the job. Listen, watch this. This is their third rebuke. Anybody been keeping track? He first rebuked them. How? With a child. Second, he rebuked them because they wanted to just disregard the man that was casting out demons. Now he's getting ready to rebuke them again in verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, this is a bad day for the disciples. Ray, you think you had some bad days with me? I mean, they got rebuked three times in about 40 seconds. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not manner of spirit you're in. You know you can be in the wrong spirit. You can be saved and be in the wrong spirit. I mean, you can be saved and be in the wrong spirit. And that's a dangerous place to be. That's why it's good to have some accountability partners around you. Some folks that's not afraid to confront you. I hope there's some folks here. I know Reverend Jones and Deacon Downs and Deacon Napier and Jeremy. I hope I'll get. Same with Dave. I don't understand what you said. Did you really mean that? I don't find that in Scripture. That's why, that's what Paul said about the Berean church. He said it was more noble than any other church because they studied. Yeah. What the man of God saying? You know, I mean, some of us just take in anything. Yeah. I see some stuff going on in church that I don't think anybody is questioning nothing. Just doing anything. In one church that folks, you can have the great marriage supper, and I want all the women to come dressed in wedding gowns and stuff. Then he called, got a call this weekend. I'm telling her business too. Church called and said, we have a style show in the church. I want you to come. Right down and sit down. I don't know. We just doing whatever we want to do. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And you've turned it into a den of thieves. See, and that word den means resort. You turn it into a party place. Anything you can do to make money. And that's what all these churches are doing now. It's about making money. It's all about making money. It ain't about lifting up Jesus Christ. It's about making money. Okay? Can't park in the front row if you drive a Cadillac. Right, Lexus. Watch this. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not matter spirit you're in. Understand this. Verse 56, and I'll be very close. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. That's the whole theme of the gospel. Luke 19:10, Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God did not send his Son down here to destroy the world. He sent him down here to save the world. And we ought to be glad about that.
Amen.
And look what Jesus said. Verse 56. And they went to another village. See, the disciples wanted to go through, and they had a big party here. They was going to go through and hack them all up. But Jesus said, no. Let's just go on to another village. And they did. Are we in the right spirit? Do we want all cookie cutter Christians? All of us ought to come in here looking alike, dressing alike, same haircuts. And all y'all, all the men get bald heads. Oh. That's not biblical. And that's what the disciples said. They ain't following us, they ain't doing like we doing it. And he says, do you have a childlike faith? Do you depend on the Lord Do you depend on the Lord? Do you live by Him? Are you close to Him? Are you next to Him? Or do when you leave here, you pick up your other God? Are you a man with two faces or a woman with two faces? You got two gods and you don't really know which one to serve. God didn't call me to sing it. But listen to a couple stanzas of it. Because sometimes we get to thinking we more than we ought to be. He says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count the loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Things, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. But such love and sorrow met were thorns and holes, so rich a crown. Isaac Watts got it right. Our question is, we have a right today. Are we serving the right God? Are we the Samaritans or we are the Jews? I'm not talking about our personally, but do we serve the God of the Samaritans or we serve the God of Jesus Christ? That's a great question. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You. We thank You for Your unlimited mercy. We thank You, Father God, for saving us. And not only saving us, Father God, but lifting us up out of the muck and the mire, out of our pride and our envy and our jealousy. Father God, we thank You, Father God, for giving us an ear to want to hear the things of God. We thank You for changing our hearts. Oh, our hearts were at one time so desperately wicked, so evil in its thoughts. We thank You, Father God, for the healings that You've given us. The many times that we've gone into hospitals, not knowing what the report was, but You brought us out of the hospital. You reunited us with our families and our loved ones. You gave us one more opportunity to say thank You. One more opportunity to kiss our grandson. One more opportunity to kiss our own son or daughter or husband.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ down to this world, this sinful earth. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for touching my heart. I'm so
yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for planting me in a church.
Yeah, yeah.
Where folks that love one another.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Where folks care about one another.
Yeah.
Where folks miss one another. Thank you, Father God, for not making me a bishop.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank
love
you.
Love being in the house of God. Love being around
yeah.
God's people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for my son and daughter.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for saving our father.
Yeah. Lord. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for touching his heart.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
give
you.
Give him a desire to come out of the house.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not only on Sunday, but on Wednesday.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for saving my brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for the cancer that you're stricken in with, Father God.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't for the cancer, Father God. I don't know what the cancer
was. Yeah. Thank you.
But the church.
Thank you.
You don't have one place to look, and that was up.
Yeah. Woo!
And then I'm going to have to talk out on which colors to help me. And he is serving you everything. Yes. He loves you, Lord. He loves
yeah.
the church.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for my sister.
Thank you.
Love the Lord.
Thank you.
Bless them when they come and rejoice. Let them always sing praise to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for this fire today, Father God, who sang so beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God. They come out so faithful on two nights a week.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Practicing in one place to give you glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Not to go up by himself.
Yeah.
Not to be haughty and self-centered.
Yeah.
Come out and praise the Holy Name.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Joanne.
Yes, yes, Jesus.
Bless her, Father God. She relocated.
Yes, Jesus.
Put her hands of protection around her.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus.